Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. This is the Haney Biz Project, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in Sacramento. We are entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Haney. And I'm the entrepreneur next door, just a good old Marky from down on the block, you know, here to help you. Too many small businesses fail unnecessarily, and many of the rest, they never seem to reach their full potential. We are here to change all that, one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time, and that conversation all begins with one simple question. Are you hanging
or are you banging?
Now, Marcus, I text you a lot of times at the end of the night, and I'll say, hey, Marcus, were you hanging or banging today? What does that mean to you?
Oh, that means that you're asking me if I was working on my best opportunity of the day or at
yes.
the time.
And you are your very best at
yeah,
your very
absolutely.
Best opportunity throughout the day. How many times does that happen for a guy like you?
I try to make it happen as much as possible, but sometimes it's working on gathering the little things around the business, which I guess it's not banging, but hanging accordingly to plan, right?
So, Caroline, I'm here with Caroline Gaines Toth. You and Marcus are building businesses yourself. Sometimes you're hanging, sometimes you're banging. I mean, when are you at your very best?
Definitely around as many people as possible and talking to business owners and finding out how we can help.
You are building a PR company, and it is a startup. Marcus, your business is still a startup a little further along.
Yes.
But you know what? As small businesses, we see so many of them struggle.
Right.
And do you know what the biggest reason that small businesses and even larger businesses, they tend to struggle and sometimes they don't make it?
Not enough sales.
They don't drive sales. I mean, it's a major problem. It's a major opportunity in growing a business.
Right.
So just thinking about that, Marcus, we have the show today. We've got some guys coming on the show that now know a lot about building businesses, know a lot about driving sales. I mean, who should be listening to a show like today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sales is huge in all business aspects, and people who should be listening out there, tune into the show, is someone who wants to build a world-class sales organization or a sales team within their company, or someone who's just interested in scaling their business and learning the best ways to go about raising that capital for, you know, exponential growth.
You bet. I mean, everybody kind of sells, don't they, Caroline?
I think every business needs sales.
No
but
doubt.
But why do salespeople seem to get a bad rap? I mean, when you think a salesperson, and there's sometimes when a used car type image comes up of a used car sales guy, why do you think that sometimes brings out kind of like a negative image in our minds?
Well, I think there's going to be some bad eggs out there that maybe ruin it for the rest that just kind of want to take and not necessarily really take the time to sit down and listen to the needs of the customer.
Yeah, but even sometimes today they're talking about chief revenue officer instead of VP of sales, right? They've changing the names to sound a little bit more, I don't know, warm and fuzzy. Caroline, I mean, you got public relations. You guys are selling stuff, though, right? You're connecting people.
Yeah, we lead with the relationship. So we like to sit down with the customer and really find out how we can help and how we can really understand their needs and what that looks like.
Yeah, well, today, that is what we are talking about. I will bring up some of my ideas on how to sell, how to win if you're building a business. But before we get that, we're going to be talking to two men who know something about building businesses, talking about sales. And the best way to learn, I'm going to tell you right now, is getting in the game, getting out there and calling on those customers. But the second best way to learn is going one-on-one with the folks that have actually been in the arena, the guys who have actually had the door slammed on them before but found the strength to keep on fighting, develop a way to grow successful businesses. Later in the show, we will meet Gary Simon, founder and CEO of Clean Start. Clean Start is helping entrepreneurs jumpstart their clean tech businesses and drive billions into our economy. Coming up after the break, we will learn from a real-life car dealer, Luke Smith. Luke and Audi Rockland are taking the automobile buying experience and luxury car sales figures to entirely new heights. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Sun System Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined today by Luke Smith, the man who built the number one new car sales and service company in the region, Audi Rockland. What's going on, Luke?
It's another good day, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. You had to go a long way to get over here, huh?
It was a bit of a walk, yeah. That's about it.
So for those of you that don't know, we are now broadcasting from the Haney Biz offices inside the Allegiant Giving Center. We're up in my office. We call it Mark Tank, and it's right across the street from Audi Rockland. So a walk over. So you made it over here. Thanks for coming out and joining us, because we know that your wife just had a baby.
She did.
How are you feeling right now? You look tired. Are you a little tired?
I'm trying to hold it together, but that's a lot of work.
And these mics, you got to speak right into them here too. But now, okay, so it's a lot of work for her. Obviously, you had to do some heavy lifting as well.
Yeah. You can't say anything to that. Yeah, no, I don't know how women do it.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll talk about that a little more later as there's time, but I want to talk to you about Audi Rockland. You're building businesses. Today's show is about building businesses. It's about growing sales. Give us an overview of Audi Rockland.
Man, right now we're the number one Audi dealership in the Sacramento area, the Sacramento actually as a whole. There's a judging system for Audi USA called Magna Society. So right now we are the leader in the nation when it comes to being a Magna Society dealer. So we're doing well. We're
very nice. And you guys have been open how long now?
We're
on
just
Granite
now
Drive?
A year.
One
yep,
year
just
anniversary.
Now a year.
Congratulations. We're here on Toy Row. So there's a number of car dealerships here on Granite Drive. But what makes your business successful? I mean, you've grown tremendously and you're number one already. How did that happen?
Hard work. There's no denying it.
You don't take
work.
Days off, do you?
Very
I guess
few.
If your wife has
Very
a baby,
few.
You got to take a couple of days
yeah,
off.
Had
huh?
to, yeah. Had yeah. to take a couple of days. They're worth it. No, it's you know, it's hard work and it's the people. Really, it's really about the people. It's no one person or one entity takes credit for it. It's a team.
But growing businesses, you've grown car dealerships before. Is this a new team or is this a team that you brought with you from the past?
Brand new team from up here.
What is different about this team?
You know, it's when you start together, it seems as more of a camaraderie, I guess you used to say. Everybody's in it together. Everybody starts from the beginning. So it's a real common goal to keep fighting for number one, opposed to just adding people to the team. You know, it was the core group of people from day one working together.
Yeah. Starting with the right people at the beginning is important. Yeah. Now, when you walk into Audi Rockland, it's a different kind of experience. Beyond the team, it's a different type of experience. Describe that experience for us.
You know, you're going to find that it's just a simple, easy conversation with whether it be with a salesperson, a service advisor, a parts counter person, to anybody you speak with at the dealership. You know, that's our goal. It doesn't have to be anything else other than an easy go, happy visit. That's how it should be when you're going to a place like that, and that's what we encourage.
Why do you think that people have this somewhat stereotypical negative, you know, image in their minds about car sales?
Well, it's easy. About 25 years ago, you had to see what the business was like.
Yeah, yeah. It's changed, though, hasn't it?
Well, it has. Absolutely. You know, it's a different era nowadays. It's an information era. So you could go get an Audi anywhere. You could look online. You could do anything. You could use your phone.
Yeah.
But what makes a difference nowadays is the people, right? You buy a car from a person. So, mm-hmm. again, it all starts with a simple, easy conversation.
And that conversation and that way of dealing with people, that starts, you know, with the leader of the organization. How would you describe your leadership style?
You know, I ensure that everybody still has a good time. You got to have fun. If your people and your employees love what they do, love who they work for, and actually care about the customers, it translates down real easy. You know, but you got to have a little fun with people. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to make it get a good place to be. You have to want to come to work.
How much of your focus is on sales? Because we think about, you know, the allocation of resources is the most important decision that we as leaders make. And how much of your focus is on the sales aspect of the business?
Well, I think except for the paperwork, I think everything is sales, right? So, I mean, 95%, you know, it's you walk into the service drive, you have to be comfortable with handing over your keys to the service advisor. You know, that's a sale. A sale is being comfortable with somebody you're doing business with, however it may be. So our focus is making customers comfortable from day one. So yeah. I would say, yeah, 95% of it.
If they have that experience, guess what? It turns into revenue at some point, even if it's not at that moment. Maybe it's the next time they come through, they're looking for that next vehicle.
There's two types of salespeople, I guess you should say. It kind of goes back to what you said earlier about the used car salesperson. There's a person that's just in it for the quick sale, and there's a person who's in it for the relationship. You know, if you try to harvest a relationship with people, it comes back in the long run, right? It's not about that right there or that deal right there. It's about the 10th transaction. You know, that's our goal.
Now, can you train that in a salesperson or in a parts manager, or does that found out at the in the interview process whether he's that type, he or she is that type of person?
We talk about this. You can't train, you know, there's things that don't take any talent. Showing up on time doesn't take any talent. Having a good attitude doesn't take any talent. Things like that don't take any skill. And you could pass all those with an interview. But I think it's more of a community that trains that. It's not just a one-on-one training session. Here's a script how to be nice to people. It's an environment you work in. And people who aren't going to be good eggs, move them along.
How important is the product you're selling?
Well, it helps having a great product, too, yeah.
You got Audi. Yeah. Come on, man. Do you really have to sell anything?
You just got to sell
yourself. The cars kind of, you know, they sell themselves. But obviously, you guys have made a difference in becoming number one. But your products, I mean, my wife's got two Audis. We bought a number of cars from you in your Bay Area offices and so on. But, I mean, your products are great.
Thank you. I can't take credit because I didn't build them.
So what's the hottest thing out there? My wife's got, I think, a Q7 and a S3. What's hot right now? Is there anything eco-friendly or anything that's the fastest car on the market or anything?
Well, fastest car, we have the R8, of course. So we got a couple of new little cool sports cars that came out. But the Q7 is by far, in a way, the most impressive thing we have. I mean, I can't believe how popular it still is.
That's the SUV. That's for, that replaces the minivan, right? That's the soccer mom vehicle?
It's the soccer mom, but have fun with it. Yeah, exactly.
So, really, who buys Audis these days? Is this a business guy? Is this a more affluent buyer? Where do these things start and where do they end price-wise? And who should be driving an Audi?
Well, first of all, everybody should be driving an Audi. So let's get that out of the way. The second thing is you don't want to stereotype anybody, right? So Okay. Everybody should be driving an Audi, and they could be driving an Audi. We have certified premium vehicles that start in the low to mid-20s, all the way to vehicles that are over $200,000. So we have a vehicle for just about every single person out there.
And we talk on this show sometimes about finding your passion, doing what we love. And if you're not doing what you love, you know, it ain't worth doing. You know, so you work virtually every day, right? You work like 29 days out of the month. You must love what you do. Why?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's a new challenge every single day. You know, it's like yourself. You're not just sitting in an office. You're running around a lot.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch the customer that walks in with that, like you said, or a used car mentality.
Yeah,
and that guard up, and then watch them leave, give everybody a hug. That's very satisfying.
Yeah,
it's also fun to watch your employees grow. You know, to be able to help your employee improve their life, do better for themselves, make something more of themselves is pretty exciting. You know, it's a pretty special thing to watch.
And I often think about why I do it. Right, I'm still cranking. I'm not cranking quite as hard as you, but pretty hard. And think about why. Why is that? And I got to ask you, Luke, I mean, why do you put in the 29 days a month, you know, all those hours? What's your big why?
You know, it's funny. I talk about it in the sales meetings all the time. I always tell salespeople, you got to find your why. I don't know if I have an exact why. I have a why not. And that's just, I'm not afraid of failure, but I want to see how far I could go is what it is. And I don't think I've gone far enough.
Sometimes I think to myself when it's a situation where I'm trying to think of, somebody asked me, like, I don't know what my why is. I say, what comes to mind when you think about who you might take a bullet for or what you might take a bullet for and what image pops into your mind?
Well, it's my wife and now my new baby, of course. Yeah. The image of what the bullet's going to be like?
The image of why you might be doing that. Who would you do that for? Is there a cause? You know, Marcus took a bullet fighting for our country. It was his why at that moment. And we all have something that makes us carry on and do that 29th day in a row. And in my mind, that's what makes us different. There's some guys that don't have that why yet. They haven't quite determined it. I know you have that. or you wouldn't be doing the 29 days in a row.
And it's kind of like Marcus, I'm sure, with the military. You know, it's a family. You know, I really do it for family. You know, myself, my wife. It's an ethic I've always had. It's a drive to do what I can to help, you know, everybody that's close to me. So I mean, that's as close as I can think of a solid why. Yeah. And there's so many of them.
Yes.
You know, but as far as being personal, that would be it.
One big why. Maybe it's not just one big why. I know you care about that family, and we want to congratulations on your, you know, give you a congratulations on the success of Audi Rockland. Obviously, congratulations on the new baby, and welcome to Rockland. It's great to have you here. I know you're integrating yourself into the community, into Sacramento, into South Placer. You even bought a house through Haney Garcia Realty, which we appreciate. And when we return, we're going to meet a man who is helping so many innovative companies grow their business right here in our region. Get ready to meet the guru of clean tech entrepreneurship, the founder and CEO of Clean Start, Gary Simon. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Audi Rockland. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of the great guys over at Hub International. I'm Mark Haney, and I'm joined by Gary Simon, CEO of Clean Start, who has been driving billions of dollars in revenue and creating thousands of jobs. Great for our economy. We love what you're doing. Welcome to the show, Gary Simon.
Hey, Mark. It's great to be back.
Yeah, thank you. And for those of you that don't know Clean Start, don't know Gary, give us an overview of your company, and let's get a little bit of your background as well.
Yeah, it's a nonprofit organization that helps get companies ready to go out there, be a success, get their sales up, get investment that they need. But it's basically around companies that are in energy efficiency, solar, wind, other renewables, reducing pollution, creating new products and services that are in the sustainable realm. We don't actually make a product. You know, we're not the one doing the work. We're trying to help the people to do the work. Now, I've had a 45-year career doing the stuff in the businesses. So
you're helping entrepreneurs and business people to grow those businesses, right? The sustainable, eco-friendly businesses. But you've been doing that for a long time. So let's get a little bit of your background, and we'll talk about how it has translated into Clean Start.
All right. Well, I actually got a master's degree over UC Davis. So that's what got me here.
Okay. Where'd you come from?
Indiana.
Okay.
So Indiana was not the most forward-looking on the environment at the time. I remember the 20-foot-high suds rolling down the White River near my house. They eventually cleaned all that up. But at any rate, came here in 1970, worked in state government, worked in the assembly. Your dad was in the Senate.
Mr. Gaines.
I don't think he was there at the time. Yeah, Ted Gaines. Went from that to working with some big companies. I worked in the Carter administration. I've been a senior executive at Fortune 100 companies, and then got the bug. I got your bug.
Ah, decided to go entrepreneurial.
And worked with a number of small companies trying to build up from there. And my degree's in ecology. I really want to see how people can do well by doing good.
Yeah, I'm going to adjust this mic on you, too, just so it's up a little higher, because I know you have to bend down and got to speak right into these things. So, okay, so you were you had Sarta going, now you got Clean Start. Talk to us about that transition, and what's Clean Start do today?
Well, Clean Start was a part of Sarta. Sarta was the Sacramento Regional Technology Alliance. It also had Ag Start, Med Start, and Venture Start, which was a general startup assistance network, but It got into funding problems, but each of the individual little starts basically have gone out on their own. So we relaunched Clean Start in April of 2016, and we've got it going now. We've had classes. We've had helping people with funding, mentorship, networking events. We're back on the roll again, and we want to keep the momentum up that we've created. We started this in 2005, my partner Mark Henwood and I. So we've been at it for 12 years, and we want to make sure that momentum continues here in the region.
Right now, Sacramento is ranked pretty well in terms of the environmental friendly nature, right, and from a carbon footprint.
Yeah, we're in the top 10 or top 15 of all cities in the nation. We didn't start that way. When we began this, we didn't even make the top 50. Some of that was just making sure people knew what we were doing here, but also there have been a lot of changes. You see a lot of the activity that the city, the counties, other cities in the region have been doing, and it's all contributed. And we're particularly blessed here with SMUD, because SMUD will take a risk when no other utility will. If it enhances the environment, improves sustainability.
What kinds of things is SMUD doing to promote this entrepreneurship and to promote this process or this this effort that you have?
Well, they have been supporting with grants to people who have good ideas to give them an opportunity to demonstrate their products. But right now, one of their most important things is they'll be an early adopter. They'll buy your product first off. And, do reviews of it for you. And, of course, if you can get a foot in the door with some customer, that's, worth 100 times its weight in gold when you're talking to the next customer and the next customer and the next customer, going back to your sales idea.
You bet. Now, the companies that are part of the Clean Start effort, what kind of companies are those?
Well, we try to help, of course, the startups, the ones that are the small companies. It's a handful of people. And they're trying to get going. Now, we're trying to build them up. The whole theory of Clean Start, and I would say Ag Start and Med Start as well, is built from within. We can recruit companies to come in here, and they bring 1,500 jobs. But if they came here because our power prices are lower and our cost of living is a little bit lower, then they're going to leave when some other city provides them the next incentive. If you grow them here from the base, they create deep roots and they stay here.
Yeah,
and that's what we want. So we tend to work with the smallest companies and try to grow them into something big. Now it's happening. After doing this for 12 years, now you see companies out there with tens of millions, even approaching $100 million in revenue. They get big investment. So I think it's working, and we want to keep that going.
You know, these companies, how soon does a typical startup in this clean tech environment, how soon do they start going after revenue? Because we started talking about that at the beginning of the show. Hey, if you don't get sales, it is tough to stick around.
Well, when you're in the clean tech area and in many of the other tech areas, if you're not focused on what's my product and why does some people want to write me a check,
yeah.
As we tell all of our companies that we're trying to coach on this stuff, is nothing good happens until somebody writes a check.
Right. And it's you're not talking about just venture capital. You're talking about customer paying you some money for your product.
Well, what's happened now in the venture investing world is a lot of people have been burned by investing too early in companies and the returns weren't all that great. So now they basically tell you, when you've got $500,000 in revenues and you've got a dozen customers, come back and talk to us.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do in order to get to that level? I mean, there aren't many people around here that have pockets that deep. And that's one of the gaps that we're trying to help them fill.
So the faster you can get your product to market, the better.
Yes, and
as fast as you can do it correctly.
We're having a class on this in September. It's called Ramping Up Revenue.
Nice.
Everybody that's out there that wants to learn the details on this, it's going to be about a 3 or 4 hour class with some great speakers, middle of September. And it's gary@cleanstart.org, by the way. So what we're trying to focus on is, what is the product you're trying to sell? If you're into a lot of these technical areas, 9 times out of 10, you're focused on how great you think the technology is.
Yes.
You want to make a technical sale. It's got all these things. To a customer, it's like, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
So as we try to coach people, we tell them, look, your sales are going to be 5 times what they would otherwise be if the customer is talking more than you are. Because he'll describe to you the product he wants.
Yes.
You got to listen. Now, you have to get him interested, yes, but listen more than you talk is one of the keys when you're trying to develop a new product and a new market, because you'll probably go back and change your product after you hear what they're really looking for.
So often I see people who are missing, they have gaps in their skill set. Everybody's great at something. Some guy might be great at the product, right? He's an expert. He's great at technology. And another guy might be great at sales and marketing. And often people are missing that accounting and finance component. Nobody that I know is great at all three of those areas. Now, how do you What I'm assuming that you see more people in there that are great at the product, and you've got to find a way to help them maybe partner with people who are great at finance or partner with people who are great at sales and marketing. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement. Those are the connections we're trying to make for people. So in our upcoming class, Ken Bossing is going to be there. Ken,
oh, yeah, great guy.
Basically has developed marketing organizations which help you sell anything. Mm-hmm. But he's one of our key coaches. Another guy, Aaron Heinrichs, is going to be helping us with branding and telling people what that is like and what that involves. So, yeah, we're trying to make connections to other people who have expertise in and are best at something that you're not the best at. Of course, this is a tough transition for a lot of people who found companies that, you know, they don't get to wear all the hats.
Yeah. Now, what do you like so much, Gary? You're committed to doing this. What do you like so much about building an organization like Clean Start?
Well, I just get energized by the companies and the ideas that are out there. You've got so many clever people, and you can see the vision that they have and why the world needs this, and trying to get from where they are to this bigger opportunity is just a great joy for me.
Yeah, yeah. And thinking about that and what that does, this is my hometown. You came here a number of years ago, so now this is your hometown as well, I'd say now, in many respects. And what does this growth do for a region like Sacramento?
Well, Sacramento, call it 30 years ago, had a problem of being a government and a military town. Mm-hmm. So its economy went through a slump. But yet it has a lot of unique resources, the cost of living, just the general well-being that we have around here. And my partner and I said, this is a place that should be a hub for developing the companies the world needs to get into this more sustainable mode. Now, of course, the politics have gone in that direction in the meantime. That's good. But when you think about some of the things that have been accomplished, per person in California, we don't use any more electricity today than we used 30 years ago. Now we've got more people.
Yeah, we got a lot more people.
But that was a heck of an accomplishment. And at the time that challenge was put out there, it's when I was in the legislature that they, you know, that was possible. A lot of people just said, absolutely never happened. And now it has happened. And in this state, we just went through the extension of cap and trade. And there's a lot of criticism that, you know, oh, cap and trade, it isn't generating the kind of revenue that we thought it was going to. And then you got to turn your head around and say, well, if it's not generating the kind of revenue, it's that we must be curbing our carbon emissions because buying the offsets aren't valuable. It's sort of like, isn't that success?
Yeah.
And so in the recent legislation that was passed, we've lowered the targets. So we're actually ahead of the game. I mean, think of what that's like. And now it's the sixth largest economy in the world. And we're shrinking our carbon footprints as an entire, you know, number six economy in the world. That's a big deal. That's really interesting to be a part of. And if some small companies here are a piece of that, as in fact they're becoming, then that's where all the energy comes from to keep doing this.
Any words of wisdom as we kind of wrap up this segment, words of wisdom from entrepreneurship, and then also maybe pull out the crystal ball, if you will, what's Sacramento going to look like in the coming years?
Big questions there. You know, I think the key on entrepreneurship is persistence. But as I mentioned before, listen more than you speak. Have no fear to readjust. John Bissell, original company Micromitus, banged away, as you were saying, and he had one way of making a product. He discovered there was a better product and a better way to do it. He shifted, and now he's got all this money coming in. The revenues are going
right
up.
Nestle invested into his company, right?
And be flexible. Yeah. You know, when you hear something from a customer or even from your technical team that something's not going right, shift.
Yes.
What will Sacramento be like in the future? Well, we're trying to get from 5,000 jobs in this core clean tech industry to 10,000. I think that makes it a much more vibrant economy. It means students who graduate from Davis and Sac State Engineering, they stay here because there's a lot of jobs here. Now you've got companies that are stealing employees from each other. I know on the positive side, that's really cool. That means you can grow companies from what we have.
No doubt. Growing companies right here in Sacramento. I want to thank you, Gary, for coming on the show. When we return, we will be bringing back Caroline and Marcus, and we'll be talking more about how to drive sales and what entrepreneurs can do today to boost their revenues here in Sacramento. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of the Entrepreneurs Organization of Sacramento. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of the accounting firm CLA. I'm Mark Haney, and I am rejoined by Caroline Gaines Toth and Marcus Haney. How you two doing?
Doing fantastic. Love
what's,
the show today.
What's with this Toth? Is that your
I was
going to
ask the same
Caroline?
Question.
Caroline's name, yes, but I'm keeping Gaines as a middle name.
All right, there you
ring
go.
To it.
Caroline
yes, it
Gaines Toth. I love it. And Marcus yeah. Haney, and you know, we've been talking today about selling and, you know, what sales is all about. How should entrepreneurs bring in the sales? How we ought to coach? How much of our resources should be put into sales? Marcus, takeaways from today, thoughts?
Yeah, well, based upon that question, like Gary Simon said, it's all about listening to your customer and really finding a pain point that they have and solving a problem. I think that transactional selling is really out the window these days, and people really want to get to know their customer and really be integral part of their business and really make a difference overall.
Yeah, it starts with the relationship, doesn't it, Marcus?
Always, yeah.
And you're building a business now, right? It's an industrial supply business. How important are those brand new customers?
Oh, they're everything, right? Giving you that one shot to have an opportunity to earn their business. And I think that's what I always try to ask my customers or potential customers, what can I do to earn your business today?
Yeah.
And I think getting to that point and understanding what you can really do to enhance your relationship and give them something that other suppliers cannot really puts you head and shoulders above the competition.
You bet. Now, how about you, Caroline? You're building a business as well, a public relations business. You're helping connect people, and you've been building this team. How important is that team in building, you know, you're building a sales force. How important is that?
Extremely important. I have, I believe, the most incredible people a part of my team, and they inspire me every single day. I loved what Luke Smith said about no matter what position you're in, and Audi of Rockland, you are in sales. So you have an impression that you're making on the customer, whether it's service or sales. And we believe that in Haney Biz as well. Anybody that comes in is going to be greeted with a big smile and a lasting impression, hopefully. That's what we should
yeah.
for.
What about you, Coach Haney?
Well, you know, I just see so many people that feel like they're maybe stuck on that hamster wheel, and they've got they don't have time to build the culture where everybody is selling the way Luke is. They're so caught up working in their business that they can't step back and work on their business, especially if they're, say, a product guy. We talked about this with Gary over at Clean Start. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are product guys. They aren't gifted yet, or maybe they're just not built like salespeople. They're not. Some people, it takes special people to be great at sales and marketing. It takes a different kind of specialty to be great at the product, and it takes an entirely different kind of expertise and gift to be great at sales and finance and the numbers. So I find that people are not focused on the right stuff. They're not focused on what they're great at,
right,
and they don't know what to do. What do you do when you started the thing and now I can't step back from it because I'm too dang busy? So what can you do? I think you find partners, right? It'd be great to go hire the CFO. Great, go hire the CFO of your dreams if you're driving enough revenue to do that. That way you don't have to focus on the accounting and finance, and you can focus more on the accounting and the sales and maybe the differentiation of your product. But you know, not everybody is set up to go hire a world-class CPA to run their books.
Tim Mulligan, right?
Yeah, it could be. So you can use an outsource. It's like a Haney Biz going hands-on. You can do that. We outsource our accounting team. We outsource the CPA for you. Of course, that way you can go back and focus more on what really puts money in the pockets, which is really driving that business and growing sales. But, I mean, I think Gary talked about it too a lot is, we get stuck as founders so in love with our product, we forget to go talk to the customers, or as Gary said, listen to the customers. We forget to do that, and you know, we spend our time tinkering on the product when really the answers lie right down the road and with the customer. So I see that all the time. So I think of myself a little bit as like match.com for entrepreneurs. Come on into Haney Biz, meet with Caroline, meet with somebody on our team, meet with me, and let's get you partnered up with people that can make a difference, that can free you up to do what you're best at. And you know what? I think I've seen this all too many times. The reason why businesses end up failing and underperforming is they don't focus enough on sales. They focus on these other things and not on sales, because you have, which is driving the new business, which is talking to customers, it's reaching out, listening. We don't allocate enough resources to the most important parts of our business, and in many times there's a lack of focusing on those key customers, those big customers that are really driving the revenue. And if you're not driving that revenue, you know what? It can end real quick for you, especially as a startup.
No doubt.
So if you are penniless out there and you need a partner, come see us and we will matchmake you. If you need some help on sales, Caroline has got a team that can help you build your sales force, that can help connect you as you need. If you need some accounting, you need some finance, you need some marketing, we can help you. And just thinking about, Caroline, if they come down to talk to you about building your business, what does that look like? What kinds of things are you asking them as they come in to talk about building their business?
Well, back to what you were saying is, what do they love to do? Figuring out what they're good at and what they love to do so that they can allocate their time in doing that, and we can take over some of their pain points of things that they don't want to do. A lot of entrepreneurs don't want to do their accounting. Is that right,
yeah, Coach Haney? That's what I hear. That's what I hear out there. They don't want to do the accounting, so they bring in, there's a lot of information to be gleaned from looking at your income statement or your balance sheet. And if it is not giving you that right information, then we need to reconfigure it so it gives you that information so you can make the decisions that it takes to change your company. Because if you're happy with the status quo, great, come on in. I'll have you help me, and you can be a mentor here. I'm trying to connect up entrepreneurs with entrepreneurs. But if you're not happy, come on in, and we'll get you connected up so that we can get some help for you. I got to throw it over to you, Caroline, to talk about the people that make this show possible, our sponsors. Who can we recognize today?
James Beckwith and Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank.
You bet.
Our neighbor, Luke Smith of Audi Rockland. Murad and Derek and the solar experts at Sun System Technology.
And I got to give a little shout out to Sun System. They just brought on a new sales director. His name is Eric Vorbeck. Eric Vorbeck and I go way back. He played professional sports in the Dodgers organization. He helped me along the way in building some significant sales teams. So I think in terms of revenue generation, bringing in the right players. Luke talked about that a little bit. But when a Sun System brings on a guy like Eric Vorbeck, Sun System already an extremely successful company, but then you bring on the right guy, it can be game-changing for a company. So
yeah, no doubt. Eric coached me in baseball for a long time. He might even have those guys writing in a journal at Sun System.
I love it. Yes, all the little tricks of building teams.
Success.
Eric is very good at that, and the success principles. I have learned a lot from Eric, and look forward to working with him over at Sun Systems Technologies. Caroline, any other thoughts here about like more Mark Haney? If you want to hang out with us at Haney Biz, how to get in touch with us here at Haney Biz?
Yeah, you can check us out online at HaneyBiz.com. We have Allegiant Giving Taste for a Cause on August 19th.
Nice.
So that'll be really, really fun at Randy Peters Catering on Vernon Street, Old Stomping Grounds.
Yes, my old building.
Bistro, I believe.
And our doors are always open. We always want to meet with an entrepreneur. We want to hear about your business and see how we can help you.
When we return, we will share our closing thoughts about driving revenue. I will share a story of survival that was only dealt with because of a mantra I used when the chips are down, and I think it got me through the hard times. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
You know, we've been talking about sales and how, you know, that if you don't focus and allocate enough of your resources, of our resources, you know, on the right stuff, on selling product, on driving revenue, you know what? It's easy to underperform and it's easy to fail. And I learned that early on when I was faced with my back against the wall. Really, my brother and I, we owned some video stores. We had 12 video stores. We were leveraged to the hilt. We had just bought out my brother's shares, and we had opened stores and owed the bank a lot of money. And we had just a little bit of room left on our line of credit, and we loaned it to a guy for a get-rich-quick scheme. We were going to get a turnaround on the money and get paid back really quickly and hit a home run. But guess what happened? He couldn't pay us back. He filed bankruptcy. And out of that bankruptcy, and we were devastated. We were floored. What are we going to do? But there was this little company in the bankruptcy, and in exchange for our $550,000 debt, we get this little company that's probably worth zero, but we took it versus getting nothing. And it was a little video hardware business focused on industrial video stuff. And, you know, what are we going to do? We're leveraged to the hilt, and what do you know? We get put on credit hold with all our manufacturers. And all I remember thinking was the same thing I thought when, it came from the Wizard of Oz when Dorothy was so frustrated when she didn't know what to do. She said, there's no place like home. She's no place like home. And I said to myself over and over and again, there's no problem that more sales won't fix. There's no problem that more sales won't fix. And, you know, with that attitude, you know, we took this little company and we took all our resources that we could drum up and we hired the best sales guys we knew. I took all of my efforts. We took all of the resources of the company and we focused on one thing, selling security cameras, right? In this business that was selling all these other products, in a business that was renting movies, we took all the resources and allocated them to sales, to driving revenue of one product category, and that was security cameras. And, you know, that mantra, it became tattooed on my hard drive, if you will, the way my grandson wishes his henna tattoo was tattooed on his arm. He's got a little henna tattoo that I bought for him. But my tattoo is in me. There is no problem that more sales won't fix. And it's not just about problems. It's about opportunities. There's no opportunity that can't be maximized with a great sales effort. And I think it's when we allocate those resources correctly, right? That's when the magic happens. And when you go all in on what you know, right? We found that selling security cameras was our best bet. And so we bet it all, and we bet it with sales. We didn't bet it on some product. We bet it on the sales. And it ended up working out okay. You know, we built a couple $100 million enterprise with multiple businesses. It had a successful exit, but you know what? I'll never forget the mantra. And you know what? At one point, you know, I realized it's there's no problem that more profit won't fix, right? And where does that come from? Well, there's no problem that more smiles won't fix. You know, we have to have happy customers. We have to have people in our life that are happy with our product and service. And that leads first to sales. And I think that's kind of what makes the world go around. That's what makes Sacramento go around. So when I look at the entrepreneurs in Sacramento, how I can help entrepreneurs to focus on driving business in our region, that's really the Sacramento sales force, right? These entrepreneurs that are at the very beginning stages, some are going to make it, some are not going to make it. If we can get them over the hump with their backs against the wall and get them to help them to sell their way out, there is no problem that more sales won't fix. That will drive the economic growth here in Sacramento. These entrepreneurs, these businesses, they're the sales force of Sacramento. So I want to give a salute to that sales force, to the hometown salespeople, to the entrepreneurs of Sacramento, right? For sure, we want to give a hometown salute to leaders of hometown patriotism, Gary Simon and Luke Smith. These two are driving our local economy. But to all the fighting, all those people out there that are fighting the good fight for our economic freedom, our security, and our way of life. To the 13 stripes, to the 50 stars, and to the one big sales opportunity always work fighting for yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.